Certainly, we should be motivated to love our Savior. He has demonstrated in incontestable terms that He loves us. He loved us to the extent that He was willing to die on the cross of Calvary in our stead. And we should demonstrate an ongoing willingness to reciprocate His love. We should love Him too. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons why you are present in this worship service this evening is because you love your Savior and you are grateful for all that He has done for you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 14, chapter 3, rather, verses 14 through 17. Revelation 3, 14 through 17. I'd like to read the passage again just for the sake of re-emphasis. Revelation 3, 14 through 17. The message given to the church of the Laodiceans. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, specifically Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The Laodiceans were in a very unhealthy way satisfied with themselves. I like to characterize them as being afflicted by a disturbing spiritual malady or sickness. And I call this sickness that can affect congregations and can affect individual persons, I call it satisfied-itis. Now, if you look in your dictionary, you won't find satisfied-itis in there. But I think it's an apt description of the spiritual sickness or malady that held the Laodicean Christians in its tenacious grip. I think all of us will concede the fact that it is dangerous to remain in an unfortunate state like that in which the Christians at Laodicea found themselves. So let me talk to you for just a few minutes on the danger of satisfied-itis. satisfied itis is dangerous for several reasons. And I want to emphasize that it is dangerous, it is damnable, and it is destructive. You see, they reckon their spiritual condition was commensurate with their physical and material prosperity. But in reality, that was not the case. Satisfied itis, having an unhealthy sense of satisfaction with one's life and with one's condition, especially one's spiritual condition, is dangerous. The Laodiceans were in great spiritual peril, and they were living in an unfortunate state of blissful ignorance to boot. Satisfied itis is dangerous because it breeds complacency. Complacency is defined as self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. They were not really aware of what condition they were in. They thought everything was fine. They thought they were in good shape. But the Lord said in his attention-arresting message to them, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were one or the other. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich." This was their assessment of themselves. "And increased with goods, and have need of nothing." I'm in excellent shape. I'm fine. Nothing at all to the matter with us. And you are unaware. You don't know that in reality you are wretched. In reality you are miserable. In reality you are poor. In reality you are blind. In reality, you are naked and exposed, and they were not even aware of it. And a lot of folks today feel like they are fine, and they are satisfied with their spiritual condition. They are satisfied with their lives, and they don't know. They are totally unaware of the serious situation they really are in. There are folks walking around right now who have some serious health issues that they are unaware of. You know, there are millions of folks walking around right now with diabetes. Don't know it. And they feel like they're fine. Nothing at all the matter with them. There are others who are walking around with high blood pressure. They call that the silent killer. They feel like they're fine. They're not really aware of what their true condition is, and such was the case with the Christians at Laodicea, because they had that condition known as satisfied itis. And that makes it imperative that we periodically examine ourselves to make sure we are all right. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, please, verse number 5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. We need to examine ourselves periodically and ask ourselves some piercing and penetrating questions. We have the opportunity each Lord's Day when we assemble around the table, let every man examine himself. So let him eat and so let him drink. You know, we need to examine ourselves and examine our lives and examine the level of our spiritual health at least once every week. And we need to seriously ask ourselves, what's my spiritual condition before God? How does God see me? How does the amen, how does the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, see me? Am I viewing myself and my spiritual condition through distorted and rose-colored lenses? Or am I making an accurate and serious appraisal of my spiritual condition? And am I willing to face the facts? The Laodiceans were living in blissful ignorance. So satisfieditis is dangerous. There are a lot of folks who are blissfully unaware of what their real financial status is. They just live and don't stop to count the cost, don't stop to evaluate, don't stop to establish a budget, don't stop to see where money is going, don't stop to see if there's some shortages, don't stop to evaluate themselves and determine what their real value is. Oh, it's a dangerous thing to be a victim of satisfieditis. Not only does it breed complacency, it gives rise to apathy, a lack of feeling or emotion, a lack of interest or concern, an unfortunate state of indifference. It also stifles a sense of striving. It deceives us into believing that we have arrived. It has a way of aborting ambition. It saps away our spiritual vitality. It leads to letting down our guard. It blinds us to reality. It robs us of achieving our true potential as people who are made in the image of God and as those especially who have been born again and are special members of the family of God. 2 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." We need to understand the difference between physical and material prosperity and spiritual prosperity. A lot of folks feel like because the Lord has blessed them and because they're doing well materially and financially, that they're in good shape. But that's not a good gauge for assessing one spiritual condition, because the Lord our God blesses you, that does not necessarily indicate that you have a right relationship with Him. We need to be reminded of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. The Bible says in verse number 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Notice, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So just because you're blessed by God and are the recipient of his rich and bountiful blessings does not indicate that you have a good relationship with him. One final passage, and the lesson will be yours. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Paul describes some in this passage by saying they are given to perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. But don't get the two confused. Don't mix godliness and gain, and don't incorrectly conclude that you are godly simply because you have gained a measure of material or physical prosperity. The danger of satisfied itis. It's dangerous, it's damnable, and it's destructive. It can lead to the loss of your soul. Do you need a checkup from the neck up? Do you need to examine yourself to see what your real condition is? And I trust that all is well with your soul, that you are not poor, blind, miserable, wretched, and naked as were the Christians at Laodicea. But if you examine yourself in light of the Word of God and discover that there are some deficiencies and discover the presence of spiritual disease, we would advise you to take immediate corrective measures. If you're a Christian, already a child of God, why not repent? Why not acknowledge your condition? Confess your sins. And why not pray? We'd be delighted to pray with you and for you that you might be healed. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we know that you are in a very perilous condition. We know that your prognosis is not good at all. As a matter of fact, you are inevitably moving in the direction of destruction, because the disease that you are a victim of is definitely terminal. But you can get rid of it through obedience to the gospel of Christ. You've heard the wonderful story of love, how he died, how he was buried, how he rose again the third day. He did all of this for our sins according to the scriptures. Wonderful news from the great physician, who can cure you of whatever malady you might possess. Believe that good news, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise to walk in the newness of life with renewed health and vitality on a spiritual level. Will you come? As we together stand and as we sing.
Yield not to temptation, for it is sin. some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Why don't you ask the